welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this very rainy day in the Tucson area, Tuesday, the 14th of February, 2012. Of course, it is Valentine's Day and Arizona Statehood Day as the Grand Canyon State celebrates its 100th anniversary today. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on The Voice, KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our voice network partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com and at KVOI.com. We also make this program available so you can listen to it really on your schedule anytime and anywhere in the world. Now, how do we do that? Well, we have three sites for you to check out. You can check out my website, buckmastershow.com. We have tucsonsentinel.com, the online news service, and we have tucsoncitizen.com. All of those sites have the show available for you really anytime, anywhere. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. On today's show, we start with a look at the Arizona economy with ASU economist Dennis Hoffman. 20 minutes past the hour, it's the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. 30 past the hour, our monthly conversation on aging. Today, very important question. When is it time to begin the conversation with our older loved ones on really when they should no longer be driving? And then we'll close out the show with a discussion with UA anthropologist Dr. Thomas Sheraton. Dr. Sheraton, whose book is Arizona, A History, has just been released in time for the centennial in a revised edition by the University of Arizona Press. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can always call the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. As our growing number of friends, we're pushing for, well, the immediate goal is 2,000. We're up to 1,850-something. So if you'd like to be a friend of the show, go on to Buckmaster Show. We begin now with a centennial interview about Arizona's economy. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Tempe, ASU economist Dennis Hoffman. Dr. Hoffman is professor of economics and directs the economic research at the W.P. Carey School of Business. And joining me in studio is Shelley Fishman, our Tuesday Moneymaker Report certified financial planner. He'll have a question or two for Dr. Hoffman as well. Dennis, how are you?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
Doing real well, and happy Centennial Day to you.
Same to you. Happy birthday to us.
Yeah, happy birthday to Arizona. How's the economy looking for you here as we get rolling here in 2012?
Well, the economy's clearly getting better. There's no doubt about that. The real question is, what are the correct descriptors? You know, historically, the Arizona economy really didn't endure much in the way of recessions. It's kind of like snow. We don't get snow in Arizona. We don't do recessions in Arizona. But the last 4 or 5 years have been very, very different scenario. And it's been down so long. The economy's been down so long. Many of us had called turns in the past, and we're looking for signs of life in the Arizona economy, and little was to be had. But I think over the last year, there's been a firming of the economy on a number of dimensions, and we're beginning to grow again. Now, I can think of many headwinds that will impede some of that growth. And it would be fair to say that the growth this time does not mirror the type of trajectory that we saw in rapid growth coming out of downturns before.
Do you think that can we say we've turned the corner on what some are calling the Great Recession?
I believe that we can. Now there's economists are always thinking about you know, what's around the next corner, what's around the next tree kind of thing. There certainly could be headwinds that arise. There certainly could be shocks that hit this economy again. But under any kind of a normal or regular assumption about the course of the national economy, the global economy, the trends are all in a positive direction for Arizona right now.
We're speaking with ASU economist Dennis Hoffman. Shelley Fishman is with me, and Shelley has a question for you, Dennis.
Dr. Hoffman, good morning.
Good morning.
So we've heard about work between the development agencies in Phoenix and in Tucson to try to build a corridor between Phoenix and Tucson that would attract, industry and presumably employees and new population. Do we have the critical mass for that? Is that a reasonable expectation?
Well, the trajectory of growth for Arizona has always placed the most of the population growth in the so-called Sun Corridor, a rendering that runs, roughly from Prescott southeast all the way to Benson. And the heart of that Sun Corridor is the geography that you've just described. Now, most assumptions would be that we would get net domestic in-migration to fill in most of this corridor. That has been the trajectory of the state for the last several decades. The question, I think, is, are we making the type of investments in infrastructure? Do we have a critical mass in terms of an employer base, both current and impending employer base? And do we still have the people magnetism that we seem to own for decades in this state? And those are really the questions, I think, that are fair to ask with respect to this planned infill.
Sure.
Is no doubt that those of us that made these projections about population growth in the Sun Corridor several years ago have dialed back the timetable for when that infill would actually take place. We've certainly had a timeout here in terms of the economy. And many people think that Arizona will approach this 10 million population figure. We used to think it'd be in the 2030 range. It's probably 5 to 10 years delayed under current assumptions.
As a follow-up, given what we know about the things that are indigenous to Arizona and the Arizona economy, and also what are developing, are there any industries that we should be working to attract? Anything that jumps to mind in terms of the things that could help that corridor to grow even more quickly than it might naturally?
Well, I think we have a regulatory and fiscal environment that is really quite conducive toward attracting new businesses. We probably need to leverage as much as we can our mineral extraction businesses. We certainly are the nation's leader in terms of things like copper, and we've got to figure out manageable, environmental friendly, but efficient ways of extracting those materials. We have got to be ever vigilant about new manufacturing or high-margin service provision that we can attract to the state. But I have to tell you, for every ounce of energy that we put toward trying to attract these new businesses, anything from solar to advanced high tech or the latest and greatest new thing in terms of energy efficiency, I think we have to be as vigilant in trying to protect what we've done very well at, and that's things like aerospace defense. Mm-hmm. And when I think about an East Mesa up here, I think about Boeing and Orbital. When I think about a Tucson, I think about the tremendous employment asset you have in the Tucson area in the form of Raytheon. And we've got to be very, very vigilant in protecting those employment opportunities.
Dennis Hoffman is with us, ASU economist. We're quickly running out of time. In the remaining couple of minutes, your thoughts on the real estate trend? Are things looking better in that area?
You know, we have a lot of challenges, obviously, in the real estate market. Credit continues to be a problem for major investors all the way down to individuals that find themselves now with the evaporation of a lifetime's worth of wealth. And one hand, it's got to have compassion for those people that just had the misfortune of needing a house at the wrong time, say 2005 and 2006. Now, we will work through these excesses, and presuming that we regain the label of a people magnet that we owned for decades, we'll establish increasing amounts of net domestic in-migration, and real estate will improve. Now, I have heard a number of people that are much closer to this industry than I suggest that 5 to 7 years from now, people are going to lament not taking opportunities that they have today in terms of this real estate sector. So real estate is cyclical. It's very, very cyclical. And I believe that we've reached the bottom. The question will be, what is the pace of the ascent?
Dennis Hoffman, thank you very much for being with us here on the Buckmaster Show. And just to wrap up with you, you know, bringing it back to the centennial, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Isn't that the old saying? And we're still talking 100 years after statehood about many of the same issues, aren't we? Jobs, jobs, water, you name it.
Indeed. Yeah.
Dennis Hoffman, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. Dennis Hoffman, ASU economist. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman will have the Tuesday Money Maker Report. That's coming up as we continue on the Buckmaster Show on this centennial day. Stay with us. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show, and every Tuesday we welcome Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, and we welcomed Shelley actually a little early today. He was in studio with me as we were talking with the economist from ASU, Dennis Hoffman, and Dr. Hoffman pretty much saying that stick to what you've been doing here.
That was an interesting point, Bill. I was very interested in that he even though he was interested in growth and in movement from out of state of new industries and certainly the things you hear about in the press all the time, what he said is, listen, be very, very careful that you continue to nurture and grow the stuff you've got. Aerospace, mining, very interesting on that, and was optimistic about the corridor between Phoenix and Tucson and a way to grow that corridor and get it populated. So I hadn't heard that perspective put quite that way before.
And I think there's tremendous potential, Shelley, for the bioscience here.
Oh, I think so, too.
Joining with aerospace, I mean, that seems like a no-brainer.
You would think that, and if we could somehow get the two universities linked up and the commercial offspring of those universities working together, I think that corridor could grow tremendously.
What's this about Wall Street Journal asking too late to jump aboard? The stock rally perhaps has left you standing there waiting for the next train.
Yeah, huh? It must have been a slow news day. Okay, so stock rallies are always too late to enter. Whenever you don't enter right at the low point in the curve, you have the suspicion that it's too late. And then the next stock rally comes and you're not in. No, I believe that we have more growth in this recovery. To echo what Dr. Hoffman said, I expect continued steady growth out of this recession. We have a long way to go. We have a lot of employment that needs to be filled in, and of course, the housing bubble is still somewhat bursted. So those things need to be fixed, and as they get fixed and demand grows, right now there's an awful lot of demand sitting on the sidelines, Bill, demand for goods, but also demand for investments, because people are deleveraging. They're trying to get rid of debt. And so long as they're paying off debt rather than buying bubblegum, there's a problem with the kind of demand in the economy. We saw that this morning with the announcement that demand in January for goods and services had been up, but not up as much as had been hoped and expected. So that's what we're seeing. I believe stocks and bonds, bond funds especially, have a long way to go. And so if you're not invested, if you need to be invested because you need the growth in order to build to your retirement, it is not too late by any means.
You know, a lot of people did park a lot of cash, Shelley Fishman, mm-hmm. on the sidelines when the market started to go big time south in the fall of 2008. You wonder if those folks are still waiting?
We think there's about $1 trillion still waiting on the sidelines. We know that we've seen inward movement into the markets of cash, but interestingly, it's not coming into the equities market as much as it's coming into the bond markets. And so what you see, despite a lowering of the credit rating of the U.S. sovereign debt, of treasury bonds and notes, you see, for instance, last year, treasuries up, long-term treasuries up 30% in a year. That's insane. It never happens. Medium-term treasuries up 20%. And the reason is the demand for that secure debt is still so high. So money coming into fixed income, and by the way, coming into municipals, coming into high-quality commercial debt as well. And so all of those things have shown a lot of growth, not only in the past decade, but especially in the past year or two.
Market timing is always kind of a contrast. We just got a little shudder there from Shelley with the two words market timing. Difficult subject.
Yeah, normally market timing is intended to indicate that you're very carefully watching downswings and upswings and playing the arbitrage between those things. And there are people, and computers, by the way, that do it very well, but you and I don't own them. So you have to be very careful with market timing. In general, statistically, Americans time the market tremendously badly. They buy high and sell low. And that's why the average American portfolio is up 3% in a 20% or 30% environment. And so market timing is not a good idea. However, Bill, if you think something bad is going to happen or there's going to be a change and your advisor says, you know, buy and hold, stick with what you've got, you really do need some other opinions, because if you're absolutely convinced that there's going to be a change, for instance, we're going to start getting interest, higher interest and some inflation, you need to adjust your portfolio to account for those kinds of changes. So just sitting there and holding, in my opinion, is not a good strategy.
What advice do you have for the folks that still are on the sidelines with a lot of cash and they really haven't talked to anybody? My advice would be probably to talk to Shelley Fishman. But what would you tell those people? What kind of instruments would you be looking at? What kind of products?
Well, of course, there's no one size fits all. So I'm forced to say that there's nothing that I could say that would fit for everybody. But given that, there are certain things that we think are going to do well and have relative lack of volatility and some safety. Some of those things are stocks and the markets in Europe right now, which are forecasting a recession, which means they've already built the recession into those prices. Emerging market debt issues, which are paying 6, 7, 8% sovereign debt, and they have very low debt to their as a function of their gross domestic product. So those things are good. I think in the U.S. market, I would stick with high quality, high dividend paying stocks, or the funds that track the high dividend value stocks. And I would stay away, certainly, from the riskier things, the more volatile things, mid caps, small caps, and that kind of thing for now.
But generally, you've done very well for your investors. And what percentage was that you gave us?
It's silly, Bill. I mean, it's crazy. Last year, I saw my average portfolio up between 10 and 20%.
Yeah,
on average,
like
15 or 16%.
And they're
all in fixed income. So you know, how do you get that kind of growth in fixed income? And it's because there's so much money coming into the markets right now that the demand for those kinds of funds, and I very seldom buy the actual bonds. I buy the funds that buy the bonds so you get better diversification. They were just up an insane amount, and they have been for a decade.
And it isn't rocket science to ask your advice. No, you didn't let me finish there. Not your end is rocket science, but for the people that are actually thinking maybe they're hesitant about asking for advice, it's a simple process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You should get advice. You should probably get advice from two or three advisors before you select one, and then work with the one who feels best to you and also is able to document to your satisfaction, that the things they're prescribing for you individually fit with your lifestyle, with your ability to sleep at night.
Shelley Fishman, where do folks get a hold of you?
795-7950 or shelleyfishman.com.
They can walk in and see you?
Yeah, they can, but I'm usually pretty booked up, so it's better to make an appointment.
But you are, I was leading to the Pyramid Credit.
Absolutely, yeah, Pyramid Federal Credit Union.
There you go. All right, Shelley. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff tells Congress that carefully planned reductions in the Pentagon budget will not harm the U.S. military. President Obama is urging Congress to renew an expiring cut in the payroll tax before it's too late. He's promising to sign it right away. Late payments on mortgages ticked up in the last 3 months of 2011. TransUnion says 6% of mortgage holders were behind on their payments by 60 days or more in the final quarter of last year. It appears a modest gain in retail sales last month didn't get investors in a buying mood. Stocks are lower on Wall Street. The Dow is down about 78 points, 12,796. The NASDAQ is off 18 points, the S&P trading 10 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Well, 34 on the Buckmaster Show. In this portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. One of our continuing focus segments here on the Buckmaster Show is aging and the impact on the baby boom generation, of which there are many of us. Today we focus on how to know an older adult should stop driving and how to have that conversation about that with them. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Gail Morgan. Gail is a monthly guest to this program on aging issues. This segment is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, where Gail is the Community Outreach Director for Splendido. Gail, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You know, this is a conversation that is, I think, many of the children of older adults really dread having to bring up.
I think it's one of the most dreaded conversations that we ever have as an adult, is having this conversation with our own parents.
But an older adult, the time really, it will probably come for all of us when you no longer can drive safely. And that is a very difficult decision to accept.
It's very difficult because there isn't a definitive line. We don't all wake up and at 96 or at 86 or 76 is not the day that the Department of Motor Vehicles says, okay, turn in your license. Also, our perspective as drivers is always different than others' perspectives of our ability as we reach an older stage.
And I think the statistics will prove and bear out that older people are at higher risk for road accidents than other age groups.
They are, and multiple research has shown that not only are they at higher risk for accidents, they're also at higher risk for multi-car accidents. So not only is the risk bad, but it's likely, if there is an accident, worse than just a standard single-car accident.
Gail, what are some of the warning signs that maybe it's time to think about having that conversation?
You know, truly open your eyes and look close. Look for dents and scrapes on your parents' vehicle or on older adults' friends' vehicle. Ask them where they came from. Look for things that the trash cans are knocked over, the garage is skinned up on the side. Also ask about their driving. And when you start hearing perhaps, oh, well, these people are angry, they're beeping their horns all the time. And so if you're starting to see any road rage with the older adult being the victim or the person that's being angry with traffic, that can be a very, very big sign. Getting lost, you know, somewhere that has, they've gone frequently over their life, but suddenly they're not familiar with how to get there, is also a very good indication. Drive with them. You know, it seems that I know with my own parents, the older they got, whenever we would go somewhere, I became the driver.
Mm-hmm.
But mix it up. Drive with them so you can actually observe how they're navigating the road. Can they see the road signs? Are they following the traffic signals? Really be observant of how well they're managing in traffic.
So if you're in the car with them and all of a sudden that you're winding up having to say, do this and do that, maybe it is really time for that conversation.
Truly. If you find that you're inserting directions or guidance or that you're saying, geez, Mom, you're braking a little slow or you're following a little close, those are all really good signs. It may be getting close to consider not driving.
And traffic tickets, of course.
Of course, yes.
Well, there are reasons, too, that an older adult may need to stop driving, reasons that pertain to health issues.
Yes. You know, as we become older, there's more medications that we take that could impact our ability to make sound decisions. Pain medications, other medications that could cause problems, general health problems, something as typical as arthritis, that could severely impact our reaction time and our ability to move our foot from one pedal to the other. Another thing that is health-related is memory and mm-hmm. the ability to concentrate. If you are having trouble with memory or the ability to focus and concentrate, that can be devastating in traffic. So
then
that
there's
too.
The eye issues. That perhaps mom or dad have been, or both, to the ophthalmologist. The eye doctor has said that maybe they have the beginning problems with some eye disease that really can make night driving very difficult.
Yes, vision is perhaps the number one reason that people willingly themselves decide it's time to stop driving. And you see it typically in earlier age, they stop the night driving first.
You know, now that you bring these things up to the parent or a friend that's older, what's the next step? I mean, to look for perhaps alternatives because they don't want to give up their independence, which is associated with driving an automobile. So can you start to suggest perhaps maybe someone else could help them with transportation needs?
I think before you even consider having the conversation, stop and say, what does this person use their car for? What transportation do they need? If it's just church on Sundays or a weekly grocery store run, really look at that. And before you have the conversation with them, have available some alternatives. So, you know what, Mom, your neighbor next door, I've already mentioned to her about sharing a ride to church on Sunday. I or your granddaughter would be happy to come do grocery shopping with you. When you have this conversation, it can be daunting. It can be frightening and traumatic for the older adult because it's a sense of loss of independence. So as you have the conversation, if you can restore a means for them to continue their daily activities as far as the transportation piece, that will really help them accept this much easier.
And what if they are reluctant to even have the conversation? I mean, this is something that could be a matter of life or death, let's face it.
You know, this is one conversation you just can't afford to procrastinate because procrastination can truly, in this instance, have life and death impact. If you're uncomfortable and if this older adult has a physician that they are familiar with and that they trust and respect, it's always possible to enlist the support of the physician also to weigh in on this.
And it is important to bring in the older adult in the conversation rather than just saying that, my brother or sister and I have agreed that you need to stop driving, just, you know, making that kind of a statement. Really, you have to engage the person that is involved.
Right. None of us would react well to being told that the time is up and that we're not participating in that. If you have that sincere conversation throughout the conversation, they're going to start and see that they're having the accidents, that they're not as safe. And if you involve them in the solution and the next step, they're far more likely to go willingly into this next phase as opposed to, you know, resent and resist.
And of course, when you're planning for your retirement, people are always looking at, well, can I financially afford this or financially afford that? They really need to think about the driving aspect and transportation and where is a particular assisted living facility? Do they have transportation needs?
Yeah, we plan for retirement every nickel and dime, where and what and how, but we never think about planning for the transportation change. If you select a community like a Splendido, that's all covered for you, all the transportation. If you don't, then you must look at logistics, like you said. And if you're looking at a next retirement step, make sure it's easily accessible or it has services to allow you to stay a part of your community.
Yeah, that really has to be a big factor when you are planning for retirement and look at the transportation situation and where that particular assisted living or retirement area is. Is it close to shopping or whatever? Do you actually need a car? That's got to be a big factor.
Right. What services do they offer right there on site? So one day when you don't even have a car of your own and you're very happy with that, you can still have a great lifestyle without even having to leave that community.
Gail Morgan, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show and talking about an issue that is very difficult for people to talk about, but so important. I hear about this all the time when the baby boomers are saying, what are we going to do about mom or dad? They really shouldn't be driving, but they want to keep driving. It's a conversation that needs to be addressed.
You can't wait.
No. Gail Morgan, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Coming up now on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show, it is Centennial Day here in the state of Arizona. We will be talking with Dr. Thomas Sheraton about his book, Arizona, A History. It's a revised edition just out from the University of Arizona Press. We will be reflecting on 100 years of Arizona history as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
1248 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and our Voice Network partners who listen to our program out of Globe and out of Douglas. Together, we have Southern Arizona certainly covered, being in 8 of Arizona's 15 counties. It is Statehood Day, the day that Arizona celebrates its 100th birthday, the Valentine's Day state. Arizona became the 48th state on this day in 1912. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Tom Sheraton, who holds a joint appointment as professor of anthropology at the Southwest Center and the Department of Anthropology at the University of Arizona. He has authored or co-edited a dozen books, including Arizona, A History, which has just been released in a revised edition. Arizona, A History has been hailed as the most integrative and comprehensive book on the history of the Grand Canyon State, from stone spear points more than 10,000 years old to the boom and bust of the housing market in the first decade of this century. Arizona, A History explores the ways in which Native Americans, Hispanics, Asians, African Americans, and Anglos have inhabited and exploited Arizona. Tom, Dr. Sheraton, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
It's interesting, you know, the Arizona Daily Star had Barry Goldwater's predictions that he made 50 years ago as a, when he was talking about Arizona at 50 years old, how are we going to look at 100? In many ways, everything old is new again. You know, we're still talking about a lot of the same issues here in Arizona.
We are.
You know, population has always been a factor. People complain about the roads. They did probably back in 1912. They complain there weren't enough jobs. We complain there aren't enough jobs, on and on.
You bet. I think one of the things that struck me recently is that 100 years ago, the Arizona mounted probably one of the worst assaults on Mexican labor when unions tried to keep Mexicans out of the copper mines and off public work programs.
Yeah,
and
there was that big deportation out of Bisbee, right?
And the Bisbee deportation,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
And now I think we're seeing the most sustained assault on Mexican immigrants and Mexican people since statehood, the English-only movement, with SB 1070, with the dismantling of Mexican-American studies at TUSD. But I think one of the interesting things is I think this sort of spasm, this reactionary spasm, is going to fail because Hispanics are the fastest-growing segment of our population.
One of the things Barry Goldwater had predicted 50 years ago is that our ties with Mexico would be much more firmly established in 2012, because sometime, he said, within the next 50 years, the Mexican border will become, as the Canadian border, a free one with formalities and red tape pretty much cut to a minimum. You know, people say, look at that prediction now, and they say that's crazy, but if the population of this state continues and the Hispanic percentage keeps going up, Hispanics are 1 in 3 pretty much in Tucson, it could easily be half of our population in a few years. There might be an open border.
Yeah, there might. And I think rather than seeing Mexico and Mexican immigrants as a threat, I think Arizona should see it as an opportunity. Here we are where we should be the gateway to Mexico, Latin America, and the Hispanic world. In terms of business, in terms of culture, I think it would only enhance the economy of our state and the culture of our state. And I would look at a bilingual population as a comparative advantage, not as a threat.
You had an op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star. You said the attack on Mexican-American studies is very short-sighted. And I guess you're talking again about considering what the reality is of our population growth of Hispanics.
Right. The talk tonight is entitled The Sleeping Giant Versus the Politics of Fear. And it makes the point that even though we have this assault on Mexican immigrants and Mexican culture, it's doomed to failure because, as I said, the Hispanics are the fastest growing segment of the population. They're the youngest segment of the population, and they're the most fertile segment of the population. So in 50 years, I think that Mexicanos may very well be a majority of Arizona's population.
Your talk tonight is at 7 o'clock at the University of Arizona Main Library. It's presented by the Special Collections. And when you look at on this day, and you reflect, you're a historian over 100 years, but you look at a bigger picture about Arizona, that things didn't necessarily change dramatically 100 years ago. You look at really the big picture, and people have been living in this area of southern Arizona for, what, 3,000 or 4,000 years?
Oh, more than that, 12,000, at least 12,000 years. And, you know, one of the chapters in my book that I completely rewrote was the first chapter on you know, pre-Columbian society in Arizona, because archaeological evidence is accumulating so rapidly. And some of the biggest discoveries are happening right here in the Tucson Basin, where we've now pushed back the origins of agriculture at least 3,500 years ago. 3,000 years ago, we had the first irrigation canals. So people have been living in this area for a very long time. But the major theme then as now is water, and how do we get access to water? How do we get enough water to survive? And that, far and away, is going to be the defining issue of the 21st century.
So you think 100 years from now, folks will still be talking about water?
Oh, I think they'll be obsessing over water even more than we do so now. Because one of the things is there's no more pot of water at the end of the rainbow like there was with the CAP, the Central Arizona Project. We have all the water that we're going to find, and that water supply is probably going to shrink because of climate change. As it gets hotter and drier, we'll have less water than we do now. So how we distribute that water will really determine what kind of a society Arizona is in 100 years.
It will really determine the population and the growth, won't
Absolutely.
It?
Where people live and what they do.
Arizona, a history, as I recall, and I interviewed you on the TV show when the book first came out. I'm going to take a guess. Was it 1997?
1995.
Oh, okay. I was fairly close.
Pretty close.
So you did, you say you rewrote the pre-Columbian chapter. What else did you put into the revised edition here?
I'd say at least a third of the book is new. I wrote an entirely new chapter on Arizona in the 21st century. I completely revised the conclusions and put a lot more information in there on water and water issues. I added more on environmental change, more on race and ethnicity, all throughout the book, because there's been a lot of work done on different aspects of Arizona history since I wrote the book in the first place.
What's the defining issue of the last 100 years? I mean, you said water will probably be the defining issue for the next 100. What was it water for the first 100?
I think it was water, and I also think it was certainly water. I mean, that's fundamental to life in an arid land. But I think the other defining issue was the struggle for equality. And, you know, in the Southwest, we have a very small African-American population. So the struggle for equality plays out a little differently here than it does elsewhere in the nation. And here it's been a struggle by Hispanics and also by Native Americans. I think one of the really interesting things, in addition to growing Latino power in Arizona, is that many of Arizona's tribes are going to be major players in the 21st century, in part because of casino revenues, but even more importantly, because of the water rights that they hold. So they will be at the table at the water game.
And that was an interesting, getting back to that Barry Goldwater prediction that he was making 50 years ago. He said Indian reservations, as we know them today, will no longer exist because the government will have deeded the lands to the Indians who now live on them.
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I think that tribes are going to exercise more sovereignty, as they struggle with the federal government over what sovereignty means. But I really, in that, I disagree with them. I don't think Indian reservations will disappear.
But Indians will become more of players.
They will become more, you know, economically and politically, their power is going to grow.
Thomas Sheraton. Dr. Sheraton, thank you very much. The book, Arizona History Revised Edition, University of Arizona Press. And where can folks get a hold of the book? I guess all the usual places?
All the usual places, and including, I would imagine, Amazon.
Oh.
I haven't gone on Amazon yet, but I certainly hope it's there. But also, your local bookstores first.
Good luck tonight. 7 o'clock, Special Collections, University of Arizona Library, for Tom Sheraton, his talk on this centennial day. Tom, thanks a lot. Good to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants. If you are looking for a good CPA, and I think most everybody is this time of year with the tax season upon us, check out Michael C. Flowers and the gang at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for this Centennial Day edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.